When I was a student at Oxford, I was particularly interested in philosophy. And this was in the late 1950s, the heyday of Oxford philosophy, and I had some terrific tutors there and expected to become a philosopher. I met my husband, Tony, very soon after I arrived in 1956, and we realized rapidly that we were going to stay together for the rest of our lives. In those days, if you got married in a women's college, you had to leave. But I really wanted to be married and at the same time to continue on as a student. So I had a huge argument with the administration about this. At one point, the college principal, called Lady Ogilvy, or Lady O for short, summoned my mother from London to help her persuade me that getting married was a bad idea. Now, my mother was a very short lady, but she was assertive and not easily intimidated. So when Lady O asked her to persuade me not to marry, my mother's answer so surprised her that she gave up. My mother said, "But he's got a job, he's got a job." And that was it. So we got married in 1957, and we collaborated together for a while. We published a textbook on physiological psychology. We each wrote half of it. And I hadn't really studied physiology at the time, so I had to read up on this, and it took a while. We also published an article on attention, which built on the work of Colin Sherry and Donald Broadbent on dichotic listening to speech sequences. You present one sequence of words to one ear and a different sequence of words to the other ear, and you determine what the listener perceives. Having thought about this a lot, I later asked myself a related question. What would happen if you present one sequence of musical tones to one ear and a different sequence of musical tones to the other ear? And thinking about this led to my discovering the octave and the scale illusions.